We have warm hearts. And it's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's, thank you for allowing me to be your leader as we together make this journey of Christian faith. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning. My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I will be your liturgist and servant for today. Amen. Didn't know I was going to do that, but something led me, and I'm here. Amen. It's wonderful to be here in the house of the Lord today. And I too, as Pastor Esther, I welcome you here, and I hope everyone is having a good start of the new year. There are some announcements in your bulletin. Most of them are pretty self-explanatory. There is special attention to the offering envelopes that I believe are in the hallway. Correct? Okay, but the offering envelopes are,
they're gone.
They're gone. Okay, well, I had a little note here, so I just wasn't sure. So your statements, end of year statements, are in the hallway. Special two reminder about Super Bowl Sunday for the youth. You are to bring a can of soup and a dollar, and I know that they appreciate that. We always do really well on that, so let's do even bigger this year for that. Any other announcements that I might be missing?
Yes. I had the good fortune of visiting with Sharon Harris. Many of you know her. She usually sits in the first front pew there. And she's in the Consulate Rehabilitative Nursing Center. Mm-hmm. And she would like very much if those of you who know her will come and visit with her. She doesn't have any family here, so we are all the family that she has. And I understand that she does attend one of the Sunday school classes, and she especially asked for her Sunday school mates to come see her. So if you have time, take a little time out and go cheer her up a little bit.
Yay.
Very good. Amen. Thank you, George, for doing that very much.
Amen.
All right, if there aren't any other announcements, let's turn to the back of our bulletin for the opening words. Welcome to worship this day. We have come seeking God's blessings and love. They shall be given to you. We have come seeking forgiveness and healing. These will be offered to you. Open your hearts to receive God's good news. We open our hearts to all of God's words and ways for us. Amen.
I do have one more announcement. I think it's time to start bringing blankets in again. So we can, once we get enough, we can start distributing them to the homeless people local so they don't freeze to death when the weather gets cold like this. So if you feel it on your heart to purchase a blanket, wool blankets seem to be the best. They hold up real well. Just grab it, bring it in, and drop it off at the office with Sue, and we'll take care of it from there. Now if you'd stand and turn to page 254, we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5 of We Three Kings. Turn to 885. We will have our affirmation of faith. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
boys and girls, or I should say boys and girl, how are you this morning? Good. I want to talk with you about something. Y'all, every one of you is in school, right? How do you remember all those things that you learn in school? What do you do to help you remember? Write it down. Take notes. That's the biggest thing a student can do is take notes. What else do you do? Do you do anything else to remember, to help you remember?
Count how much.
Count how much?
Yeah, count how much you, how many stuff you've learned.
You count how much you've learned. That's a good way to do it. You go back over your day and you count the number of things that you've learned, and that helps it stay in your head. That's right, Zachary. Bradley? You read over the break. You keep reading. You don't stop reading. That works on all your brain cells up there when you read. Yeah. Study. Studying is a good thing. Reading, writing things down, studying. Those are all great things to remember. You wouldn't believe this, I'm sure, but all the rest of us have a hard time remembering things. But that's because we've lived so long that we've had all these things to remember our whole life. We just can't stuff everything in there, so we start to forget. So use your mind while you've got it. Use your brain. Today I want to talk to you about remembering your baptism. How many of you know if you were baptized or not? Do you know if you were? Everybody was. Now, were you old enough to remember it, or were you a baby? You were a baby. What, Bradley? You remember it. What do you remember about it?
Well, when we exactly went into your office.
Uh-huh.
And you said something to us.
Uh-huh.
And then you entered yourself, and then we walked the
corner,
and then you did something.
Uh-huh. And then you were baptized. I put water on your heads. Wow. That's great that you remember that. And even if you're a baby, you can always ask your parents, well, what happened at my baptism? I want to know what it was like. And you can find out from your parent or somebody else who was there, from the pastor, what your baptism was like. Other people help us to remember. Sometimes we have our own memories of those kinds of things. But it doesn't matter how old you get. Remembering your baptism is important, because baptism is the beginning of your life in Christ. That's when Jesus and God says, I claim you. You are part of my family. You're my beloved child. And you spend your whole life working on what that means. What does it mean to be a child of God, to be baptized? That's what we do with our baptism. But we can always remember it in different ways. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for all of you. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for our baptisms, because it lets us know how much you love us. And we base our whole lives on that one action, because we are Christians and seek to follow you and be pleasing to you as you have said we are pleasing to you. All this we ask in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's get some candy. You're welcome. You're welcome. I'd like to invite the ushers to come as we prepare to receive our offering for the morning. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for the gifts that you bring to us. We just feel filled to overflowing with the love that you share. And we pray your blessing upon each gift and every giver, that they may be used for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you notice, the choir is not up here. It's simply because the choir director didn't go pick up the robes Friday from the cleaners. And I will deal with that choir director. Don't you worry about it. Which part of that are you clapping for? So now we'd like to bring you some special music. And with all the terrible things that are happening, you know, today, we've got a song for you to just help you remember what a wonderful world it really is. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, that dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people walking by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll never know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful of the people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll never know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
We do have a lot to be thankful for in this world, but I also want to remind you of why I light that candle. You know, we saw some more violence this last week in Fort Lauderdale, hitting a little bit close to home, don't you think? I used to live in South Florida. I even lived for a short time in Fort Lauderdale, but I grew up mostly in Miami. But we light that candle weekly to remind us that the God that we worship is the Prince of Peace. And that's what we seek for in this world. And there is much of which to celebrate and to rejoice in this world. But we also remember those needs that are severely lacking at the same time. And we know that we trust in the power of Almighty God to be at work in these things, redeeming and renewing and keeping us afresh and alive in our faith. I ask us to go into God's presence through prayer now. If you would bow your heads. And in the silence, just take a couple of deep breaths. And open yourself up to the presence of God. Because God wants so badly to know you, to love you, to be close to you. Let him in. And if he guides you, make your prayer known, out loud or silently, about a situation in life or a place in the world or the name of someone that you would like to have surrounded with God's love and grace today. Lois and Morel. Hear our prayers, dear God, we beseech you today. We know that your love goes before us, and we trust, dear God, that you can use us even in our brokenness and loss and pain. You are present, reminding us how close you are to us if we call upon your name. Hear those needs which have been expressed and those which remain unexpressed. And hear our prayers for your world, where there is so much that is wonderful and good, but where there is loss and pain, bring comfort, bring healing. And hear all the needs of our hearts today. We beseech you. We come to you. We acknowledge your goodness and that we do not deserve to be recognized, but you have loved us and shown us through your Son that we are worthy of your love. There's nothing we have to do or say, but simply accept your love. And let it work on our hearts and our lives, giving us some new hope. And to be your people in this world, representing the love that you gave us through Christ to a world in need. All this we ask in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to 585, we'll sing "This Little Light of Mine."
Can we do the motions?
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go.
Seated.
Before I read the scriptures, I just want to say that since Mom passed and then Ivy, there have just been some really I call them miraculous events. I know Dad has had some things happen at the house that he feels that Mom's presence is still there with him. With Ivy, it's been really some extraordinary things that have happened that I know that Ivy has got her hand in it. And with the Holy Spirit moving through that, the babies are really doing well. Actually, extraordinarily well. It's just a blessing. They're so happy. Corey and all of us, you know, we still have our little moments. The song that Andy sang, it can get to you, you know, especially hearing a baby cry. That part of us still have a little anger because it's so sad to know that the babies won't really know Ivy. But I just thank God for you. I thank God for Corey's church. We all have surrounded him, and all of us, you all have surrounded me and Alan. And I just really feel that things are going the way they should. We're going each day at a time, one day at a time, putting our foot forward before the other one. So I just really, you know, thank you all for that. Our reading today is out of Matthew 3, and it starts at verse 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now, I know that some percentage of you, I don't know how much, that I can speak for when I say that the thing that brings you to church is the fact that you were baptized. Now, others of you were baptized without being given any choice in the matter and don't remember it, like some of the children's expressed this morning. And crying at the baptismal font is not to be interpreted theologically, although you sometimes wonder. And some of you may have been baptized because you turned 10 years old and you were in those denominations that didn't let you take the grape juice at communion until you were baptized. And some of you went to a worship service as a young adult or a teenager where the minister moved you to tears and invited you to be baptized. Some of you have never been baptized because you've never seen any reason why you should. And some of you haven't been baptized, but you've had to work awfully hard at avoiding it. Well, whatever your situation and whatever your connection to baptism, I think and I believe that all of us learn the meaning of our baptisms after the fact. I don't care how old you were, whether you remember it or not. I don't think any of us fully know what we are doing the day we were baptized. Years later, the purpose begins to be revealed and unfolded before us. We discover what our baptism means afterward rather than before. And that's how it was for Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew that we just heard Rhonda share with us today. Now, we just went through Advent, which is the beginning of the church year, and went through the birth of Jesus and have gone through Epiphany, was on January the 6th. And today is called Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And in Jesus' life, in Matthew, it skips his childhood completely. And we don't see him again after he returns from Egypt after the slaughter of the innocents. We don't have a clue what happened in between, but when he was a 30-year-old, one day Jesus decides to put down his hammer, take off his tool belt and hang a closed sign on the door of his carpenter shop. And he starts to ask himself the question, what does God want of me in my life? And he heads south to the Jordan, where his cousin John is baptizing in the river for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus gets in line with the other people waiting to be baptized. And he waits his turn. And he wades out into the water, right next to real-life sinners like you and me, and fish, if you looked at the cover of the bulletin. And he gets baptized. Three of the four Gospels tell this story, but only Matthew records the conversation that he had with John before being baptized. Jesus is eager to be baptized, but John stops and says, "Wait, shouldn't you be baptizing me?" They stand in the river and have this theological disagreement concerning who should baptize whom. And the very first time that Matthew says anything in the gospel, I mean that Jesus says anything in the gospel of Matthew, it is to say that he needs to be baptized. Those are the first words of Jesus in the gospel of Matthew. Because baptism, he says, will help him learn who he's meant to be. So Jesus leans down into the water because he believes that God is calling him to a different life. And when he stands up, the water pouring off of him, he sees the Spirit, not as a fire of judgment, but as a dove with hopeful, fluttering wings. And the voice says to Jesus, "You are my child. I love you. I'm delighted with you." And then Jesus goes into the desert right away for 40 days to think about what it means to be a child of God, to be claimed by God as God's very own child. What does that mean? And Jesus spends all the days and years of his life discovering the meaning of his baptism. He gives everything he has, his hopes, his dreams, his deeds, his labor, and his life itself, as we know. He gives himself to God's people, takes his place with hurting people around the world. Baptism was Jesus' commissioning to ministry. And it is also can be for us as well. During the week before his death, the leaders of the temple have arrested him and brought him in for questioning. And they ask him, "By what authority are you doing these things?" And he says, he answers them with a reference to his baptism. He says, "Was the baptism of John from heaven or not?" In other words, "I was baptized. That's why I do these things." In the waters of baptism, Jesus heard the Spirit calling him to speak the truth and live with grace. So as we all know, Jesus does not die of old age. He dies because he takes his baptism seriously. And when Jesus cries on the cross, in the end, it is finished. It is his baptism that is complete. Baptisms, like most beginnings, find meaning long after the event occurs. Beginning is often easy, while finishing is hard. The significance of any decision that we make takes a while to emerge over time, and initiations are really meaningless until we are true to the promise of the beginning of them. So we always remember the beginning. When the road gets tough along the way, we remember the beginning. We're on the road. We're not at the beginning anymore. But to remember our baptism and to look back upon what occurred to us gives us a better sense of the meaning for us, what we are to do. So baptism is kind of like being handed a map, but you still have to take the journey. It takes our whole lives to finish the journey we begin when we're baptized. So what does it mean, do you think, for us to live out our baptisms? I believe if we're true to our baptisms, we cannot make ourselves comfortable. We cannot do only what will be appreciated. And we cannot be satisfied with the way things are. Our baptisms demand that we struggle with what's right and what's wrong, what's important and what's not, what are the things to be valued and what are the things that are not to be valued. Well, Jesus was told he was God's beloved child. And God says the same thing to us in our baptisms. We have been named and we claim it as we go. We claim the baptism as children of God by telling the truth in a world that lies, by giving in a world that takes, by loving in a world that lusts, by making peace in a world that fights, serving in a world that wants to be served, and praying in a world that waits to be entertained, and taking chances in a world that worships safety. It is in these things that we find our calling as children of God. We are citizens, if you will, of a different reality, a different community where financial success is not the goal, security is not the highest good, and sacrifice is a daily event. Baptism is our ordination to ministry, our vow to live with more concern for the hurting than for our own comfort. That's why we give out blankets. It's our promise to take issue with ideas with which everyone else agrees. Baptism is the commitment to share time with the poor and listen to the lonely. So do you know what it meant when you were baptized? I bet you're going to find out, if you have not already, on this journey of faith, exactly what your baptism means. The meaning of your baptism is seen in what you think and feel and do today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life. Have you done anything today that you wouldn't have done if you had not been baptized? We are forever answering the question, why was I baptized? Baptism is not the culmination of anything. It is merely the first step. You are His. He loves and is pleased with you. He says, come on board. All you have to do is name it and claim it. We're all in for a wild ride. And I want to go through the baptism service. If you would turn in your hymn books to page 34. We're going to remember our baptisms today. The first thing that we're going to remember, we're going to renounce our sin and make a profession of faith. And this is something that can be done many, many, many times. We, in the Methodist Church, only baptized once because we believe once that was done, it was done perfectly and doesn't need to be redone. But I will tell you that we profess and confess our faith numerous times and remember our baptism. So I'm going to ask you to join in this renunciation of sin and profession of faith with me. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And going down to number 6, red letter 6, according to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Let's go down to red number 9 on page 35 and join in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Going to page 37, through baptism, will you join with me? Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. We thank you very much for your baptism. We thank God for our baptisms and pray that God will continue to reveal to you your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to live out your baptism. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to page 245. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5 of the First Noel.
Thank you.
So how many of you do remember your baptism? Because you were old enough to remember it. A few of you, a good number of you. How many of you were too young to remember your baptisms? Yeah, you were baptized before you were conscious of what was going on. And that is the same meaning as if it was done when you were older. Whether you can remember it in your mind or not, we always remember our baptisms when we renew our faith in God. We renew our ordination, if you will, to God and to Jesus Christ when we remember our baptisms. And I think we're going to have the candle lighter come up here in just a second. Is he coming? No. Oh, I see. All right, well then, let's pronounce the benediction and he can do that at the end. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in his peace. Amen. Thank you.